Welcome to Pyramid to Circles. This podcast is for the leaders and for the change makers who have the goal of evolving their company
towards more collective intelligence, more empowerment,
more self-organization, but asking themselves how to make this happen, where to start, and how to get inspiration from others. Our episode today, my friend, is dedicated to the entrepreneurs who want to have a positive impact on their environment. Entrepreneurs who want to create a profitable business that also make a difference for the others and for the planet. Those who want to create what we call a purpose-driven company. We're going to talk about that today. Either you're an entrepreneur or you are not, but you're interested in this, so that episode is for you. You know, I noticed that until a few years ago, the notion of purpose was left to the public sector or for the nonprofit or NGOs. And we consider that companies, because they are looking for profit, they could not be really positive for the ecosystem. So they could not be for purpose. They had somehow no real meaning. And we had these two polarities, on one hand, nonprofit, and on the other, for profit. And today we realize that both is possible, that you can create a business that will enable you to meet all your needs and at the same time make a difference in the world. And by the way, some recent studies have proved that it is not only a generous idea, but it's also a very good strategy, as purpose-driven companies tend to grow much faster than the other ones. So my guest today to discuss that is an entrepreneur himself who has become a coach and maybe more than that, and an advisor, but let's say coach in helping others creating their own for-purpose business, maybe you. He's a partner in a company called PeopleWave, and the goal of that company is to incubate and invest in for-purpose startups. So, Patrick Fonsen, welcome.
Thank you, Mikhail. Happy to be here.
Same here. Where are you as we speak? In which city in the world?
I'm near Antwerp in Mortsel, Belgium. Antwerp, I lived and grown up all my life, but with a global mindset, traveled a little bit around the world, so happy to talk to anybody in Belgium, Europe, or outside, and hope to inspire them a little bit. So thanks all for listening and dedicate a little bit of time and attention to this story.
Super. So I introduce you shortly and you complete me. For 15 years, Patrick, you ran a highly profitable consulting company and you sold it for few millions, good for you, to a global company. And I think every entrepreneur would like to achieve that. And despite this success, you still felt, as you say, unfulfilled and somehow exhausted by the hard work to get there. And you wondered how to combine, on one hand, your authentic values with, on the other hand, the harsh and the unconscious business world of today. How to reconcile those two. And after selling your company, you spent a year figuring out how to crack this contradiction. And then you found that there is no need to compromise on your authentic self. Yes. So you embraced that the contradiction was inside yourself and you discovered a way for yourself to live purposefully every day and everywhere. And you write that your purpose is to enable a more conscious business world by connecting people around system-changing purposes in a light and in a flowing way. So that's my short introduction. Do you want to complete, or is it fair? Anything to add?
Well, I think we can end the conversation here because everything is said. But no, that's a very complete, good summary of what I was up to and what I'm after at the moment. Thanks for that.
So you work at PeopleWave. So we could do that in two parts. First, PeopleWave, and then maybe more focus on you, your learnings, and your ideas. But maybe if you can just present PeopleWave, why this organization? So what do you do? Why do you exist as an organization? And what can you offer to entrepreneurs or people who may want to invest or start a business and they are listening to us, they may be interested. So why does it exist and what do you offer PeopleWave?
Yeah, good question to start off with. Why do we exist at Pebble? We actually exist to create conscious purpose companies. So we work with entrepreneurs and leaders to support them to realize their purpose. I liked in your introduction that you said purpose used to be for the non-profit sector, and now it seems to get more and more into the profit sector as well. And back in the days, I was also convinced that business world is about profit first, and then if you can do something good, that's nice, but it's mostly something for in your spare time. But through Pebble and what we do and the discovery that we had for the past 8 years, we discovered, we're not the only ones, of course, but we discovered that it's actually the other way around. The value that each single individual of us have inside is actually the purpose and is actually the positive contribution that we can bring to society that's deep ingrained in all of us. And if we live by that, and if you're an entrepreneur and you build your organization around that, you will see that it will be much easier to create a meaningful and fulfilling job, work, organization for yourself, but also for all the people inside it. And that at the end, the profit will increase even much faster and much more effective and efficiently than if you do it the other way around, which, by the way, I did for almost 15 to 20 years. So I know I felt both ways. And I'm convinced that in time, this is the generation that we are so grateful that we can create this transformation in the whole of society and the business world. And that soon, 10, 20 years, everybody will be convinced and that purpose-driven companies will push out traditional hierarchical meritocratic companies out of business in every sector of the industry.
Yeah, I just know that, for instance, B Corps, I don't know if the B Corps is a certification program to, and I don't know if it falls in your category of purpose-driven, that's how they would present themselves, companies mm-hmm. who have a positive impact on the planet and the society. And I just know that there are a number of companies waiting to become a B Corp, and the process of certification is always increasing. It takes a lot of time now to be able to. I hope I'm not saying a mistake here, but I just know that there is more and more companies wanting to be a B Corp and starting this journey.
Yeah. Well, purpose-driven companies for us, it means living and actually, purpose definition that we use is what is the positive contribution that you would like to contribute to society with your organization. We do split that in two parts. We have the outer purpose, which is towards society, towards the external world, and also the inner purpose. What do you want to bring to all the colleagues and the employees that you work with? And our experience is that actually, everybody, 99% of people, have a positive purpose in themselves. So it is about, it can really tackle any part of society. I think we have the broadest view on what purpose is. So I'm sure that everything that B Corp defines as purpose is inside our category, maybe not vice versa. I don't know B Corp that much. But it can be very, very broad. We with Pebble, we initially started 8 years ago solving the climate challenge that we face as a society. And these are naturally the topics people think about when we talk about purpose. But we've met entrepreneurs that have really very tangible, practical, close to home purposes inside themselves. The most inspiring example of that is a company that we started last year. And the leader of that company, it's a woman, Annelies. Her purpose is actually to release entrepreneurs from their administrative burden so they can focus on their purpose. And what she does, she brings HR, payroll, finance, accountancy services, any operational administration that you have in your company, she just loves to do that. And she takes that burden away from you. And it inspires her. It gives her energy, creativity to do this in the most efficient, effective way. And it's a massive, valuable contribution to society. And it's super tangible. It's super close to home. And it doesn't have to do with world peace or climate change or energy or peace. It's really very focused, very pragmatic, and I really love that. And that inspired me that there's really every one of us has this purpose inside him or herself. And that's another insight, if I can already share. If you want to become a purpose-driven company, it's not about looking at the ESGs and then figuring out what is the biggest strength and define what should be the purpose of your company or yourself. Our experience is that every company, every organization, if you put people together that start to collaborate, there is already a purpose. The trick is, or the key turning point is articulating and discovering what that purpose is that is already inside the organization. And usually that is the reflection of the purpose that the leaders have inside themselves. And if you are able to articulate that very clearly in all its finest nuances, then you're really set for a massive change already just by articulating that, communicating it, and evaluating all your business decisions against that purpose to the extent, how is this decision bringing us as an organization closer to that purpose? Mm. And if you do that, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you do that, you see remarkable things happening. First of all the people you see that in the majority of people that work at your organization, they become all of a sudden much more engaged, creative, and enthusiastic working in your company. And on the other hand, the decision-taking process becomes much easier. So you both gain in effectiveness, in creativity, in energy, as well as in efficiency. Obviously, just articulating, communicating is not enough, but it's always the starting point that we start off with.
I understand conceptually that if it's more purpose-centric, people will feel more emotionally connected to what they are doing. So they will be more motivated, they have more energy, more creativity. Also understand that if we have a clear purpose, then it's easier to make a decision. We can take a tactic or a choice or make arbitration based on, is it fulfilling or going towards the purpose or not? It's like a true north.
Yes, exactly. Easy.
It makes decisions easier. That I understand. Could you give some example? Because what I'm also, you also said, you say that the purpose that is already existing, you don't have to be necessarily to fill in the ESG requirements for, maybe we can explain what is ESG. You will explain it. It's something that is already there that we can reveal. That's what I'm hearing. Could you maybe give an example? I don't know if you have in your mind an example of a company that's not necessarily doing work for the environment or energy, as you say, but something more not like normal, maybe more simple, mm-hmm. But that did that journey and found its purpose. Maybe a bit like the other, I love the first example with the
reuse the first example.
Yeah.
But I already explained the purpose. The purpose is that simple: relieving entrepreneurs from their administrative burden, mm-hmm. so they can focus on their purpose. Once that was articulated, and goes a little bit further than in the how and the what.
The company existed before, but this was not articulated.
No, this was a company that we started ourselves together with Annelies, the leader. So we only start companies where we have a leader that resonates to a very high extent to the purpose of the organization. And that person was already working a lot in operations and administrative side, but she felt like, okay, I also have an organization in my blood. I am an entrepreneur. And by articulating this, we aligned and we started a company together with her, then found through her the right people that resonate with that purpose. And we're now building it. And well, I think most entrepreneurs, most of them don't like to do these administrative tasks. So there is a massive potential. There is a global potential for it.
There is a big market in there for sure.
Yeah, there is a huge market. So it's not about the challenge in that company is more on finding the right people than finding customers who resonate with them. But to give another example, another company that we are starting is a marketing company. And there we did it the other way around. So in standard, we meet entrepreneurs that say, yes, I want to go to the fullest and take the life-changing decision to be a fully conscious purpose organization. And we're talking now about the purpose part. We can go into the conscious part later on. But let's stick to the purpose part for now. And then we have a method to align how we are going to do this. But there are two crucial questions. The first one is, do you really want to become a purpose-driven organization where you put the purpose before the profit and are also organized in a purpose-driven way, which is also called TEAL, which you probably familiar with as a no-way-back decision. And do you want to do it in a conscious way, being the most authentic version of yourself? But to come back to your example, because that was the question, we also starting a marketing company, and there we defined the purpose up front, and then found a leader that resonates highly with that purpose. So the purpose is supporting other companies to discover what their purpose is, and then putting that purpose into the market. That's another very business-oriented purpose, but it means a lot of value to the customers and also to the world, to society, to actually identify what is the purpose that is in each company already present, and then building the company around that. You will see that those benefits on the inside, engagement, decision-taking, overhead, engagement will decrease, overhead will reduce. As well, you will be much more effective and efficient also in your sales, connecting to those customers that also resonate with that purpose. Obviously, in your marketing, you have to translate that purpose into a message that resonates and expresses the value to the customers, obviously. But if you do that, you will see in your sales, and then eventually in your finances, also a positive impact of making the switch to a more purpose-driven organization.
So I understand that in these two cases, these are business around the topic of purpose. Two businesses, and that you have defined the purpose. In the second case, you have defined the purpose first, and then you have recruited the lead.
Yes,
that was resonating with it. Okay. But I understand that you can also, like entrepreneurs that come to you, or is it possible for an entrepreneur that come to PeopleWave and say, hey, I would need a bit of guidance. I would need maybe financial investment. I would like, I want to be purpose centric. I don't really know how to do it. Can you help me, guys?
Of course.
I understand maybe if you could maybe just give a couple of other examples. You have, think you've supported companies very different areas in the more I think I remember you have one in that is very scientific or technical, some are more in the field of agriculture. They're very different. You have a portfolio of companies that you invest in. that yeah. are in very different fields.
Yes. So our view is not restricted by sector, geography, or size of company. Our focus is indeed entrepreneurs that want to build a conscious, purpose-driven organization, and can be in any sector. So another example is it is climate related. It is to grow, and the purpose of to grow is to optimize agriculture in a way that space is freed, and that 20% of the agricultural space currently used for food and agriculture can be given back to nature. So that one is very climate and biodiversity related. We have another one that's also related to food and agriculture, and that uses mechanical and mechatronical solutions to create a massive innovative impact in those sectors. And I can give another example, which is a very scientific approach. You could call it a data company, but actually the company makes risk mapping of how diseases spread, and mainly how do you call it, insect-borne diseases. But it can also be applied to vaccines. So they use a lot of data, satellite data, local data, to predict where outbreaks of certain diseases occur, and then predict how they will spread further on. So that is typically used also in agriculture to reduce the amounts of pesticides, because you intervene just in those areas where it is needed to avoid pest breakout.
So thank you. You give us three different, very different examples, very technical, science-based yeah. examples yeah. of different companies. That are so you are you owners or are you shareholders of these companies, because you're investors in those?
Yes.
And so
yes.
you incubate them, you help them grow. So yeah. I have two questions here. Like, what is the financial deal? And two, I know you have a method and you help them in a certain way. So maybe we can explain that.
Yes.
Maybe first at the financial yeah. part.
So we are an investor, but we're actually not looking for investments. It's a bit funny, but we became actually along the way, we became an investor. So how did that come about? Actually, we do believe that it is possible as a society and as men to solve any global challenge that we are faced with as a society. And more deeply, if you look at every challenge that we are faced with, if you look at really the deep root cause of that challenge, in the deepest depths, then we believe there is always at the ground a lack of consciousness. So it's individual and collective consciousness. So our purpose is actually to move the evolving consciousness of the world. And we believe that if you can impact the consciousness level, then afterwards people will solve any challenge that currently occurs. So based on that, we started initially coaching and advising entrepreneurs, but we found out two things. Some companies said, well, we like to pay you with equity. Is that also possible? And we said, yes, that's also possible. So we became actually an investor that way. And secondly, currently, we do always take a share in the company, not for the profit, not for the returns, although they are also behind it, as we see profit as a necessity to be able to create the impact that you need. But what we want to do, we take here a life-changing decision to go on this purpose-driven path. And as an advisor, it's fine to tell them, yeah, just go and do that and jump into the black hole and you will see it works. But we say, no, we will jump together with you. And we will be side by side with you along the way in all the difficult situations that will arise. And that's why we found that the best method to create this impact, to move this consciousness, is by working with entrepreneurs that also have the ability to make system change real and jump together with them from the operational level until also the equity part, so we can have impact together on all these aspects.
And it's interesting because most of the people or the organization that are doing this, they are consultants, but you're an investor. And then yes, that's a very different perspective to invest.
Yes.
As you say, you jump with you. It's a very, very different perspective. I guess depending on the projects, there will be a minority or sometimes maybe more than that, maybe majority or maybe 100% of the shares. What is the spectrum of the proportion of your investment?
Well, it's very different. We don't have any set standards for that. Sometimes we have minority, sometimes we have majority. Of course, the companies that we start off ourselves, we have 100%, but it evolves over time. But it's really not about how much share do you have. And this ties a little bit into your other question, yet how do we approach this?
Yes, what do you do once you have invested or as you invest? Not just investing, you're also helping and incubating them in their own journey, in their own development. But you have a method.
Yes, exactly. So first we go through a diagnostic step where we help to identify together with the leaders of the company, what will it take to become a conscious purpose company? And that evolves 6 pillars. We first look at the leaders. What is the consciousness level of the leaders? Because we believe, as we said, that to become a purpose-driven company, it requires purpose-driven leadership. And it requires a leader that embodies the purpose and that drives the company towards that purpose. So we usually see, and that comes to the consciousness level, that to reach your purpose and to actually achieve it, the critical or the main barrier to do that is ourselves. The limiting beliefs that we have ourselves of what is possible and what is not possible, those will define how far we will go in reaching the purpose. So that's why we also coach the leaders on their individual consciousness and embrace all the tensions, anxieties that they will bring as they move along on this path. So the first pillar is individual coaching on the leader, on these as well on the talents, as both on the limiting beliefs that we all drag along, me myself as well included. Secondly, the transformation towards support purpose-driven organization, not only one where the purpose is the main compass for all the decisions in the company, but also one that is self-steering. To make the switch from a hierarchical meritocratic company towards a self-steering company. And why is that? We believe that, first of all, it's really good for business. But actually, if you become a purpose-driven company, all the people that work in your company will get this engagement and motivation to contribute to the best of their talents towards this this purpose. And in order to do that, the most effective and efficient way to do this is to give them more autonomy in decision, to take decisions how they can contribute to that purpose. And we see that that is a massively more effective and efficient way of organizing a company, because people are whole. They bring all their talents to work, not only the things they're good at, but also the things they are afraid at, because we see that, as well as it is with the leader, that the biggest growth for the company and the people in it is the things that you're usually afraid of. Because you push those away and you will manifest, we call it sabotaging behavior if you push them away. We try to create, with this purpose-driven organization, a way where it's safe enough to also be honest and talk about those tensions. And you will see once that happens, that people don't, that those barriers will be removed much easier, and people will move to those areas where they can contribute the most. But that requires that they also have the autonomy to do so. That's the second pillar. And then the third pillar is really about the purpose-driven strategy. As I said in the beginning, articulating what is exactly the purpose that's inside the leaders and what is the purpose that is already present in the organization. To what extent do they overlap or don't? And how do we clearly define or discover and articulate what that purpose is? That's the first step. And translating it, what is the optimal business model to achieve that purpose? And then we go through all the value chain of the company to see, okay, what are currently the bottlenecks that are limiting the growth towards that purpose? So we have a method for that, which is called Lean Purpose, where we identify them. That was number three, yes. Number four is then the commercial approach, both from the hard tangible part, like how effective is your sales and what how can it be optimized, and as well as from a personal perspective, because sales is not about convincing companies of your products, but it's about, in the first place, connecting on the same purpose. Once you do that, you will see that you have a massive impact on sales performance almost instantly, because you attract the companies that are in line with your purpose, so you will serve them better. They will be more happy with the value that you create and will be willing to pay more for it. So we look at it from both sides and then optimize, okay, how is sales being done in line with the purpose that that we discovered? And we do the same thing with finance. The finance is fully focused on making the company as auto-financing as possible. So you finance your growth yourself. To a maximum extent, but you will see that that if you derive the financial model based on the purpose, then it will be much more in line with the value that you actually bring, and that motivates you to do so. So if you align all these typically business-oriented capabilities more purpose-driven, then you will see that at the end, profits will rise. And you will be even more effective and efficient in taking the next steps to the purpose. So that's the whole palette. Now, there's a last thing that we do is training the people in the company to work in such a company, which is getting things done and nonviolent communication. We can go into that more, but I'm just giving the overview of all the elements. And the first step we do with an entrepreneur is to go through all those pillars and see, okay, what does it require to make this a conscious purpose company? If it then still feels good for the entrepreneur and for us to go a step further, then obviously we talk about valuation and the investment need that there is to take the next step in that growth. we evaluate what the company brings in, also what we bring in, which is a combination of a methodology to become conscious purpose, and can also be financial means, financial investment, if that is required. And if you're after that, then we go into a coaching transformation program where we will be side by side to go on this path of transformation to that conscious purpose company.
Thank you. That's very interesting. So I love the steps. First, self-awareness to self-awareness to self-organization.
Yes.
Differently, building on people's on their energy and their own on their own purpose on their own autonomy,
exactly.
And then you have this purpose-centered strategy. And when you bring in the purpose into the business model,
yes,
and then you also work on the value chain. So what are the bottlenecks to deliver that to deliver on that purpose, to deliver the value,
yes,
to the stakeholders? What are the bottlenecks? And then you work on the commercial approach, and you're basically not selling a product, but you're selling the purpose, the meaning. And it's very interesting. And then finance, making the company out of financing, if possible. Mm-hmm. So making the company autonomous, financially autonomous, and self-profitable very fast, as soon as possible, so you're not depending on debt.
Yeah.
That's very interesting, because you could consider debt as an enabler for growth.
Yes.
But in your case, you say no. You should be as out of debt, right? Is it a philosophy? Maybe it's a very specific question, but I'm very curious. Maybe that's the point. I was not less. Maybe I would ask you a bit of more clarity, if possible, or explanation on because the connection with finance and purpose centricity is, I think, it's the first time I've ever heard anyone speaking about that. It's super interesting.
The magical thing that I also discovered and couldn't believe it's the truth, but it's out of our experience, we feel it's the truth, is that the way the business runs is a one-to-one reflection of the awareness of the leaders. And that's on all the aspects of the business, also on the commercial and the financial aspect. And we have a focus to make the company as auto-financing as possible. That's just optimizing actually the limited resources that you have. There is always more to do than what you can invest in. So that's why we take that decision. And also collecting money in the market is always much cheaper if you don't need the money than when you need it. And bringing in additional investments can speed up your growth, obviously. But if you know where to put it, it will be much more cost efficiently to do that if you know where and how much you really need. And usually when we do this exercise, we see that you need a lot less than you thought. And how does that relate to awareness? Well, I can talk to you about my personal growth in awareness, but usually we see that it's very hard for you to value your talents. And why is that? Because the talents you have, they are easy for you. If you're doing the things that you like and that you're good at, it doesn't cost you any effort. So it's very hard for you to value that. And because you think, everybody can do that, but that's not true. It's something that's really close to you, that's really specific for you, that's what you are good at, but is for somebody else who does not have that talent, is a tremendous burden and is an enormous value if you can do that in the flip of a coin. Going back to the administrative burden, for the person who loves to do that, it's 2 seconds and she can do that the whole day and still feel empowered and engaged. And if you do that for another person who postpones it because you don't like it, we all did that, putting the invoices on a whole pile until the end of the month, and then we have to do it, and then you make errors because you don't like it and it's late in the evening. the value that you cause when you do this, when you love to do this every minute of the day, is enormous. And that's why you will we almost always see that there are things that are delivered to the customer that are not priced, that are not rewarded, that are given away for free, or that are given away at too low prices, for example, and does not capture really the value. And that's a business decision to change that, but it's also a mental awareness thing of valuing who you really are and the value that you bring. And if I can give you a personal example, my purpose is to connect people. Apparently, I'm really good at that, connecting to people and remembering what they like. And then it just pops up when we have a new company and somebody is needed in sales or marketing or elsewhere, then I just automatically get a list of people I should call. I don't have to keep lists. I just know that. For me, it's automatic. And in my entire consulting business, I did nothing with that. I thought that I had to deliver tough, large, heavy programs, that is the value, but not connecting the right people on a team. I didn't know that. And I didn't even know that I was good at it. And I totally did not know that it's also a very valuable skill to have. And that I discovered through my self-awareness coaching that I followed, and also in Pebble, that people recognize, hey, Patrick, you're really good at that. Why don't you do that all the time? I said, right, should I do that all the time? But it's not, is that valuable? And my partners say, Ralph, if I have to do all those conversations you do, that would cost me a tremendous amount of energy. So yes, finance also and financial health is directly related to personal awareness.
That's a very interesting insight. Maybe as you spoke about you, we could pivot and maybe ask you a few questions about yourself as a change agent, as a coach. You're working with entrepreneurs, with leaders. Maybe you have been yourself a business owner, entrepreneur, and then you shifted in that role,
yes,
to that new role. What has been for you the big? I mean, there must have been a lot of learnings. But what if there is like one thing that you say, oh, above all, this is what I've learned? I don't know, what would that be? That's interesting. No?
I can tell you what the epiphany moment was for me to start looking at business and my life in another way. Because as you said, when I made that life-changing decision, after that, many insights came about how to run a business, but also what's for me the right way, the authentic way to run a business. And that's an infinite journey. every day I encounter tensions and feel like, oh, I didn't know I had that. Oh, wow, I didn't know I still have to work on, I don't have to work on it, but I feel that I'm still limiting myself on these fronts. But for me, the truly life-changing moment was that I completely messed up a large program at one of my customers when I was running my consulting company. So, and why was that? My limiting belief was that as a consultant, you should be super smart and know everything. I thought that to be a truth. But it's so and I had that way before I had this project. I thought I had to go in my mind and think about the most intelligent ways to do business, to solve problems, and if I could be the most intelligent person in the room, I would be valued the most. I thought that was true, and I did that by studying the most difficult engineering at university, which completely exhausted me. After that, I thought, okay, what should I go into? People told me, consulting. That's the smart people go into consulting because you can talk to important people that you help with the most difficult challenges in business. I thought, oh wow, yes, I have to do that. So I did that first 6 years at one of the big fours. And I always was looking to, I have to do better. Good is not good enough. I have to be even smarter and smarter and smarter. But it didn't happen there. So the financial crisis came. I wasn't promoted to manager. And then I thought, okay, let's start our own business. I did that together with my partners. And still in that same, I wasn't aware I had that at the time, but I was still thinking, I have to be smart. I have to do difficult projects. It's only when you do smart things on difficult projects that you are valuable. That was the belief that I had. And then when I came to this customer, it was a very difficult project, a compliance project, GDPR at a large bank. Nobody wanted to do that. I thought, this is what I'm going to do. If I can solve this one, then I will be a chief businessman. It's also a very large consulting. How do you say that? A company that buys in a lot of consultants. So I thought, if I can make it there, then I will be successful, sell tens or hundreds of consultants, and I will be the man. And to be very honest, I went in, I did smart things the first 3 weeks. The vision was good. The customer was happy. They say, here is a million euro budget. Here is a team of 50 people. Now just go and do it. And I thought, if I just do the smart things, then it will work. And after a year, the customer kicked me out and said, Patrick, the project is not progressing as we thought. It's not working. People are not happy. We're going to continue without you. That was obviously a very painful experience. And I thought I had all figured it out. The strategy was right. The project plan was right. We had the right resources on the right activities and such. But it still didn't work. And that was for me. And I had to go back to all the people in my company to tell them, I failed hugely on this project. But by the way, you still have to do good work, like I told you. I was in such a complete spread that I couldn't go on like that. And then I took the decision, I have to change something to myself and figure out what went wrong and why this is not working. And one of the key insights is you really don't have to be smart. The intelligence that you have is inside you, and you can feel when you have to say something smart in the moment. But if you want to be smart, then you take away all the space for all the other people to help you. And that's what I did a whole year. I told people to do smart things, how to do things, but I took away completely the space for all these people to contribute to that project. So after that, and also realizing I know some things, but there's a lot of things I don't know. And many of the things in a company, you don't know until you have to do them. And you can figure them out in the moment. What's the best way? By allowing in the space that you create the right people with the right skills to come together and discover what the right solution is. And that's a completely different mindset. So since that moment, I often say I don't know. Up until that moment, it felt really uncomfortable for me saying that. If one of my consultants came to me, I have this problem, can you help me? There was no way I could allow myself, I don't know that either. and then you invent something smart, And then you say, maybe you should do this or that. And then the tension even rises when that person says, I already tried that, but it didn't work. then I couldn't say I don't know either. Let's sit together or find somebody else who could solve this.
Yeah.
And that creates space, and that creates opportunity for a solution. So that was really an epiphany moment for myself. Wow. Together with, then I went into personal coaching and discovered, okay, why do I think that I have to be smart all the time? Yeah, that goes even deeper. A deep belief that I was not good enough for the world.
Wow.
Yeah, and my compensation behavior was, I have to do exceptional things to be valued. Mm. And if you see that, at first it's really painful because you see all those situations that you have done that all your life as a survival mechanism suddenly being your biggest barrier to overcome. But you can overcome it. Eh? If you then surround yourself with authentic energy that's also inside you, and then feel, but I've always felt that there is an easier way to do it and to do things together. And then here and there, when it's in your skills, then you contribute something, and it doesn't matter whether it is smart, super smart, or average smart, or stupid, because sometimes stupid ideas are also great. Then you get into an enormous flow. You connect much better with people. People like to work more with you, and that's one of the many things that I discovered about myself, and will still discover as we go along. So you can imagine if you work on your own, let's call it authentic leadership, but we call it awareness. I was not aware of that. Once you see that and it's transformed, the day after you're another person, the day after your company is another company.
Hmm. You create a different outcome, a different results. Yeah. You start to produce different type of results.
Yeah. And this dynamic was both in collaborating with people. People like more working with me, so they do better, and I have to do less. It's great. Huh? It's great as a leader if you do less because you have great people that are motivated. Secondly, this also manifested in sales. I didn't value the fact that a good enough solution was valuable to a customer. So when a customer challenged me on a proposal that I made, then I thought, oh, he will not buy this if I don't solve also that question. But that's not true. Maybe your solution was already 70, 80, 85%, or maybe even 100% right, correctly priced, but he just asked something extra. And then you say, we can also do that, but that's extra because you already get this. Huh? If we get there, then we can do that next step. But to me, it was different. I thought, okay, yes, indeed. That's a good question. I also have to include that. And if I don't solve that, then my proposal is not good enough. So I made difficult projects for less money. So the day after, you do better sales because you feel, is this good enough? And you don't take your own perception on it. It's not good enough for you. No, it's good enough for what the challenge at the customer is at this moment. So it directly impacts sales. If you impact sales, I don't have to explain you. If you get a better price for doing less, and then you have a better profit, of course.
Very good, very good. I really hope people listening can benefit from those entrepreneurs, consultants, coach, or can benefit from this what you share now. So. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for also sharing your own path and your own journey of transformation. I think that's also this connection that we're looking for, because mm-hmm. It's a true, it's real, it's yourself, it's your own journey. Maybe as we end this conversation, I would like to ask you if you're okay to do what I like to ask to my guest. I would get my microphone and remove my headset and just give you a minute or two. Just yourself alone with the audience, speaking to the people listening, directly, and I will just be out of it for a minute. So I see you, but I don't hear you. Are you ready for that?
I'm ready for that.
Okay, let's do it.
It's a bit exciting because I wasn't prepared for this, but if I feel in what I would invite all entrepreneurs that are listening to this to do is maybe ask yourself two things. Firstly, are you fulfilled with what you're doing at the moment in your company and in your role? I certainly hope for the majority it's the truth. If it's not the case, then probably you're not living fully your purpose that's inside you. And I can invite you to take contact with us or with anybody else that you feel can help you figuring that out. That's the second most important gift that you can do to yourself. And the most important gift that you can do to yourself is just taking a moment to reflect on what is inside me that's withholding me to do that. And if you bring compassionate attention to yourself on those barriers, you can grow as a person and live your purpose in an authentic way to the fullest. And I invite everyone to do that. If everybody does that, well, then life is really simple and very fulfilling. And we are happy to help any entrepreneur that wants to go to this path. Thank you for your attention.
And I'm back. Thank you, Patrick, for this moment and for this conversation.
Thank you. You brought up a lot that I didn't expect.
What can we wish you for the next for the year to come? And
many authentic moments and a lot of growth in consciousness, and everything will unfold from there.
Mm. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And well, thank you everyone for listening. I hope that Patrick has inspired you and brought you some ideas that you can implement in your life. And stay energized, stay at your best, and maybe try to chase those beliefs about yourself that will maybe limit you. Maybe that's my takeaway, biggest takeaway from things that maybe I knew already, but that are through your sharing are very alive and very, very true and speak to me. So all the best, everyone. Thank you and stay tuned for our next episode. Bye.